Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Spiritual Unity Radio Network, a station dedicated to the concept that all manifestations of the divine are equally valid. Join Reverend Terry Power HP, Lord Onyx, and all the hosts 7 nights a week for programming covering a wide range of spiritual topics right here on Blog Talk Radio.
Hello. Greetings, everyone, this evening. We are here on the Rev Terry Power Hour, and this evening Terry is actually unable to be with us this evening. He is once again traveling. So you've got me, Robin McKean, here as the guest host this evening, along with Nivasi Falchetti, our good friend and the station manager here at CERN, at Spiritual Unity Radio Network. And so we've decided this evening, with the upcoming holiday, it's always a really great idea to revisit right before we're inundated with family members and having to cook and, you know, gift exchange and all that great stuff that goes along with the holidays, to revisit how to keep your cool during the holidays and get everything organized and not lose it. And stay as grateful as possible for everything that you do have, because really that's about what this is. The holidays are really all about, starting with Thanksgiving, all the way through New Year's Eve. So
as I grit my teeth on this is a really difficult time for me at this time of year, and I know that I'm not the only one.
Oh yeah.
It's a very difficult time because of all the different energies and personalities and maybe even private wars that are going on that you're not aware of.
Mm-hmm.
So this show should at least let me have a little bit of a grip. I hope.
Well, that's the idea here. I mean, if you can get through the holidays without losing your shit on anybody, to put it as bluntly as possible, it's been a good year. What I find generally,
but you know me, though.
No. What I find generally, as the holidays approach, we put a lot of pressure on ourselves. Turkey has to be perfect. The house has to look perfect. I have to get the perfect gift for so and so. I have to. And a lot of it is self-driven. So if you're just kinder to yourself, you know, the thing is, if somebody were to show up at your home and they didn't have the perfect food or they didn't have the perfect gift, you'd probably be a lot kinder to them than you are to yourself. And then there's the whole added stress of having people come over, you know, who maybe you don't know so well. Perhaps you're meeting new prospective in-laws for the first time, or, you know, Cousin Jenny is bringing her new fiancé, or whatever it is. You know, there's always that this time of the year, that interplay of, oh my gosh, you know, how many people are we going to have, and do we have enough places for them to sit? Do I have enough food? How am I going to make this work? How many kids are there going to be? How much noise is there going to be? So who's going to be sleeping here, who's not going to be sleeping here, who's going to drink, who's not going to drink, who's going to drink too much, who gets mean and nasty when they drink, you know, all those great fun things that come along with getting the family together. Yahoo!
Knock on wood, we don't have that problem.
Well, that's good.
They're going out back.
Yeah. Terry is fond of saying, you know, yes, I have a beautiful daughter, and I have access to 60 acres and a backhoe. So, and a wife will definitely back me up. So,
Yeah, we have that too here. But I will be out about like 2 miles from those backhoes. But I do have keys. I do have keys. So
and
that's
I'm
the scary
of a long
part.
Walk.
it'll be a long walk, but I can do it. I've done it. A lot of it, though, I think it's not so much the perfection level. I think a lot of it is the anticipation of everything. Like, you know, like you're a 7-year-old seeing your first Yule or Christmas gift, you know, and really remembering it, you got what you asked for, but that whole time you prayed and prayed and prayed, oh, I want that Barbie doll, I want it, you know. I hope I get that one. I think a lot of it is that anticipational energy that builds over the entire preparation time. You know, it's not the actual day, it's the prep. You know, we prepare for everything. Since, you know, we're pagans, we like our food, okay, it's got to be just this. Or who's bringing what, like you said earlier. I get to bring the salad this year, yay. But that's okay, because then the main dishes and all that, well, the main dish, the ham and the turkey and such, the dressing, my sister-in-law takes care of that since my mother-in-law has passed. So she does that. But then all the other sister-in-law and the other brother-in-law and all that, they bring their own spin on what they're calling a traditional dish. We don't necessarily put that pressure on, okay, now any of you bring in the salad, because they like my salad. I make a buku lot of it. I mean, we turn a cake plate upside down and fill it up. But then somebody may or may not bring a sweet, you know, so it's not designated that you gotta, but I think it's all that anticipation of building up to it that will absolutely send me over the edge. It really does.
Well, also, too, there's a lot of people that, you know, they want to recreate the family get-togethers that they recall from being children. And as children, we remember things in a rather idyllic sense often. We you know, sugarcoat it and put some cotton candy over it and a little Vaseline on the lens, and it all looks, you know, it all looks wonderful.
It's all nice.
And yeah.
A very, I can't think of the name, a kaleidoscope-like. Everything is very shiny and delusional.
And sanitized. because we're kids and we miss a lot of what's going on with the adults, which is probably, you know, a good thing. But that's how we remember our holidays. And so we put a lot of pressure on, hey, I want it to be just like, you know, I want the family to get together just like when we were kids, and I want it to be just like mom's stuffing, and I want it to be, you know, I want her to make her pies, and because that's such an integral part sometimes of people's remembrances
like
of the holidays
green
with
bean,
family.
The green bean casserole, that's the one
now,
that
I gotta
everyone
say,
wants them. Oh, man.
We never did that in my family. We never had that.
We never did
adult.
Either.
I was an adult before I went anywhere and had that, and I was like, why would you do this to perfectly good green beans?
Yeah, you're wasting the bean, thank you very much.
Putting them in,
but
yeah,
that's
putting
what
them in
they did
big
here.
Soup.
This is what this bunch remembers, you know, and I'm thinking, that stuff came out in the 60s. It's still gross. It needs to stay in the 60s. But they remember that being a part of their meal because they were getting a little older. I look at it and go, ugh. I'll pass. I'll have a ham sandwich, thanks.
I am so thankful that this year I'm not being forced to commit that high treason and make that green bean casserole thing, because it is completely against my personal tradition and against my culinary traditions as well. I think that... I think it's horrible.
It's one of those blunders that needs to stay there.
Although this year I've been talked into.
What are you going to make?
This year I've been talked into making candied yams with the marshmallows on top. My mother used to do that.
Oh, girl, I need to come to your house. Let's see, it takes me 3.5 hours to get there. I can get there lickety-split. No, I can't either. I have a house full. I won't get to it.
My grandmother used to make them. So last year when my uncle was here, when he was living with us, he specifically asked me if I knew how to make them, and so I said yes, and I made them for him. Well, both Terry and Persephone were like, oh, you have to make those again, Mom. Those were so good. So I guess that I'm going to have to make them.
You've been wrangled into that one.
Yeah, yeah. But
watching this family make the same stuff every year kind of irks me. I think you are to at least step out of your box and try something new.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think that they're capable of doing that. And I'm not saying that in a bad way. I'm just saying that they do not and will not step out of that box. You know, I don't know if it's fear or I've got one sister-in-law that will just, you know, go up in our arms and have a tizzy fit. But I think that, you know, why continue something that went on all those years? And then why not? Because now they've passed. Yes, you have the basics, you know, your foundational foods. So why can't you bring a different kind of mashed potato? Or,
mm-hmm.
you know, because there's something else that you can do.
Mm-hmm.
But they just don't.
Yes, I remember the year. I remember the year I decided I was going to put apples and raisins and walnuts in the stuffing in the turkey. Oh my God! You would have thought I had committed a high sin. My mother had a cow, and it was really. I had read this article, and it was all about cutting down on how much butter you use in the stuffing. Because for me, it was always, you know, do the onions and celery in some melted butter and, you know, saute them a little bit. Then add the bread in and you keep adding more butter until it's, you know, moist enough.
Explode.
Right, exactly.
Well,
exactly.
Explode.
Yeah, I mean, you can add, you know, 3 sticks of butter into the big pot depending on how much stuffing you're making. And then, so I saw this article that said use apple juice and chicken broth. And then throw in and use the raisins and the apples and, you know, the nuts if you want to make it a little bit different and have a little bit of crunch and blah, 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 blah. So I was like, well, that sounds interesting. It'll be certainly more low calorie than the regular with the 3 sticks of butter. And my mother just became unhinged. Well, what do you mean you put stuff in the stuffing? I'm like, well, you know, there are people who put clams in stuffing and sausage in stuffing.
Yeah.
And, you know, I just thought I'd make a different stuffing this year. She totally freaked out. She's
you have completely ruined dinner. Yeah.
I had completely ruined Thanksgiving, absolutely, because I had put, you know, stuff in the stuffing. It wasn't just onions and celery and bread. Oh, my. You know?
Yeah,
and we still fight about it to this day. You know, 25 years later, she still will fight with me about it. Fortunately, she doesn't cook Thanksgiving dinner anymore.
There you go. See, there you go. And she doesn't live with you.
That's right. That's right. I love her, but she doesn't live with me.
My mother always cooked duck. I am not a duck fan because of eating the damn duck. The problem is, though, the damn duck was greasier than anything there ever was, even though she put it in a rack.
Mm-hmm.
She did not know how to go in underneath the skin and pull the fat out. You know,
you have to do that.
Oh, no. It was, to this day, if I look at duck and I just hurl. I just can't do it. So my brother made duck au orange 1 year.
Mm-hmm.
And she turned around and she says, oh, you must have used my recipe. You could have knocked me over with a feather. I died. Mother, your duck sucked all of you. And she just never could. She thought it was good because that's all she had ever had. She didn't like turkey.
Yeah.
So she didn't understand that we hated her meal, but was too nice to say anything, or we didn't know any better. You know, yeah. I mean, if you don't know, you don't know.
Right. But my grandmother was mildly. I talk about my grandmother a lot, and people probably wonder, but my grandmother was the head of my household and raised me for the most part, and for a good part of my life, my mother and I lived in her house growing up. So my grandmother was rather macabre at times, and for example, for Easter, we always had rabbit, which for many years growing up, I thought it might have been the Easter bunny, you know? It was slightly macabre. So at Thanksgiving, traditionally we would have turkey, but occasionally that's okay. Occasionally she would decide that we were going to have something else, and it would either be duck or lamb. And you know, sometimes she would get the crown lamb roast, you know, the big
oh, yeah,
like the ribs, you know, the little lamb lollipop ribs.
The little rolled up wreck of the crown, yeah.
Mhm. Yeah. And then she would sort of, you know, also you could buy the head of the lamb, so she'd put it inside the crown roast.
Oh, God.
A little bit macabre. So she had this odd macabre thing going on. So when I grew up and I left home and I went to people's houses and they just had this turkey on the table, and I'd be like, "Really? Where's the, you know, where's the what's
Where's the lamb head?
Yeah. Yeah. Took me years to get over that. So, but my grandmother was a great cook. And just, I mean, to this day, I think about the lamb lollipops and it will make my mouth water. But so now we've gotten through a lot of the stuff. You know, people can get under your skin and you have all these expectations.
Yeah.
So how does one keep the peace and keep cool internally? And the one thing I always tell people, in those moments when you're standing in your kitchen and you want to kill your mother, or you want to, you know, rip out your aunt's throat because she's critiquing your food for the 12th millionth time, and not doing anything productive other than just, you know, yammering, remember how it would feel, or how it will feel, the first time they aren't there for a holiday because they're no longer with us on this plane. It's
on this
a
plane,
hard
right.
thing to do in the moment. You know, it's a hard thing to do in the moment, but you got to remember, it's just a few hours. It's one day. I can get through it. I can do this. I can smile, and I can even be gracious. And the more you smile at them, and the more you're gracious, and the less they see that they are getting under your skin, chances are, the less they're going to try to get under your skin.
I agree. I do agree.
Mm-hmm.
I also look at it, too. Let's bring into the pagan perspective on this, too.
Mm-hmm.
There's a mirror in our dining room where we'll be eating at. And usually it is covered. But during the holidays, take the cover off.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't realize what they're doing. I do. I think it's absolutely perfect, really. You know, we're at the mother-in-law's house, who has passed several years ago. You open up the curtain and it's like, come on in, Grandma. Come on
mm-hmm.
in. You know, and it never fails. You know, as soon as that cloth comes off, there is a bit of, you can almost hear that hush come into the room.
Mm-hmm.
And I think a lot of it is because they're almost expecting something to happen. You
mm-hmm.
know, A, Niv's there, something's going to happen. Niv took the curtain off, blame it on her, and that's okay. I think we also have to remember that we are, in my instance, we'll be in their home with their things still in place,
mm-hmm.
like any minute now she's going to come walking through.
Mm-hmm.
I think if you keep the laughter, you know, if you have to get a glass of wine before you walk into the chaos, get a glass of wine and just
mm-hmm.
relax for a minute and think about what you're going into their 1962 turkey dinner, you
mm-hmm.
know, and that's exactly what it feels like. Granted, the people are all bigger and the tables have gotten bigger, but it's the same people.
Mm-hmm.
And I think as we get older, and I'm looking into their box, I have to remind myself that somewhere my family is doing the same thing, going, oh my God, Dad's coming, you know, that feeling of that anticipation that something is going to happen. Mm-hmm. But keep the laughter, you know, don't let, okay, so what, you drop the rolls, big deal, just blow them off, stick them back in the oven for a second and burn the dirt off, and just get over it.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
one of my very favorite stories about my grandmother at Thanksgiving, I'm like, 9 years old, and I'm in the kitchen at Thanksgiving, and I'm helping her get some stuff together, and she opens the door to check the turkey to baste it, and when she opens the door, the turkey jumps, the big roasting pan, jumps out of the stove, onto the door of the stove, and the turkey pops up out of the roasting pan onto the floor and slides naked across the floor in the kitchen. There's nobody else in the kitchen but me and her. And she just looks at me. She runs over. She's got the oven mitts on. She picks up the turkey, puts it back in the pan, puts the pan back in the oven, and shuts the door and just goes,
shh. And it's not,
I didn't have turkey
yet.
That year. Everybody else ate, they were fine, but I didn't have turkey that year.
Oh, yeah. And the whole time you're looking at it going, I am not touching that with a 10-foot pole.
That's right. And everybody kept saying, don't you want some turkey? No, I'm good.
I snacked all day. Yeah.
Yeah. She
but keeping the laughter, stuff like that, you know, things like that that do happen, and they do happen. It never fails. The sink backs up. Or the toilet backs up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's because you have changed the dynamics in the house that you're at. Because there's more people, more things are happening.
Mm-hmm.
All the quote-unquote kids are now adults with their kids.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you heard what right before we went on the air. My grandson, who's 21, calls. What time are we eating? Right in the 2 o'clock, you know. So he's bringing his baby, and it's like, oh, my God, what am I going to do with all these people?
Mm-hmm.
It just is, but then you have to turn around and go, you know, it'll be fine. It will be fine. And if it gets too chaotic, walk outside.
Yeah.
You know,
I
walk outside.
Yeah, I'm actually very happily looking forward to cooking this year. I had a couple of rough years right after my husband died where didn't really have family close to go to on Thanksgiving. My family all lives, I'm in Pennsylvania, and they're all like in South Carolina and Florida. So it wasn't like I could just hop in my car and, you know, jot right on over there.
Hop on your brain and Zoom, right?
Yeah, and, you know, and I was working, so it's not like I can just take off the week and drive to Florida. Yes, it makes it difficult. So there were a couple of years there that were kind of quiet, as it were, where it was just me and Persephone, or we'd, you know, go to somebody's house, but it was not like being with your own family. And last year was nice having my uncle at the table. And this year it'll probably just be me and Terry and Persephone, but I'm really looking forward to cooking a meal for the three of us and us all doing it together. He likes to cook, and he's good in the kitchen. He's not one of those guys who just gets in the way. Yeah.
Hey, that's a good thing. a good thing.
Yeah, and so for that, I'm actually very thankful this year. And I think that's the key. You know, we make gratitude and being thankful for stuff the keynote for Thanksgiving. And I think that if you can really embrace that in your heart instead of just giving it lip service and be thankful for what you do have food on the table, you do have a roof over your head, you do have family in the room with you, because I'll tell you, there's nothing more devastating than Thanksgiving coming and it's just, you know, just you and there's nobody around to go and have Thanksgiving dinner with.
I know. Remember now, I'm 1,900 miles away from my family. So even though I've been here 22 years, this is still, this is still his family. Mm-hmm. My family is down in Texas, and they're scattered all over Texas, but they're there. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you don't, there's a certain sound when people walk that will send me to that place, or I can think about that sound, and I think of my grandmother walking across the kitchen floor. Mm-hmm. She was a big woman. Because certain sounds and certain, not food, but certain smells, I'll say. Because she always, she had always baked way ahead of time, but, you know, just her clinking that pot. And I, and like you said about the turkey hopping out, she had, I'll never forget it as long as I live, and it happened to me too. She did the potatoes in the pressure cooker and did not cool it off before she opened it. And I'll never forget it. I heard this pop, and there were 8 potatoes stuck on the ceiling. And my grandfather stood there underneath with a plate ready to catch. I said, you've done this before? He goes, I do it every year. And, of course, there's a laughter moment, and that breaks all that. You know, once the potatoes, they did eventually come down because, you know, they cooled off. They let go of the ceiling. But it was that laughter moment. And those kinds of things is what sticks with me. When I go to anyone else's house, I try to imprint their sounds. I know it sounds bizarre, but I try to. I try to make it my sounds. And it's real difficult. Truly it is. It's one of the hardest that I've had to deal with. But with family being away 2,000 miles, I do understand. There's a certain smell. There's certain voices. There's certain sounds. There's certain clinking. Even the air temperature can change it. So keeping that laughter and keeping the silliness around, because we're human. You know, I think a lot of it, like you said before, we put too much pressure on there. What if we just not put the pressure on it? Just laugh. If it goes wrong, laugh. You know, why, you know, don't be like my mother did and sit in the kitchen floor and go, oh, my God, my sweet potatoes just went to mush. Okay, we'll eat them anyway. We'll just put the blender on them. No big, you know, it was no big deal. But to her, and I think she's passed that down to me as well, that anticipation, it's supposed to look this way, and it never does. You know, it's like the commercials on TV, the hamburger, you know. It never looks the same when you go to make it yourself. So why do we do that? You know, why do we put that kind of expectation on ourselves? It's not our fault it didn't turn out right. We read the recipe.
Yeah.
But I think that's a lot of it.
Yeah. Oh, sure. And one of the things is, too, taking a mental break. Go outside, walk around, find something different to do on this Thanksgiving. You know, if your family are the kind who are prone after the meal to sit around and argue with each other and pick on each other and maybe drink too much, maybe you don't get those extra 3 bottles of wine this year. Maybe you only get 2 bottles of wine and everybody gets 1, you know, glass of wine with their meal. And if anybody says anything, you just say, oh, well, I just, you know, I just forgot to run out to the liquor store. It's no big deal. We can all have iced tea and maybe we'll sit down and play Trivial Pursuit, or maybe we'll sit down and play cards, or maybe Cousin Joey will get out his guitar and play songs and we can all sing together. However your family finds, whatever they can do to find what's common and what will be joyful and make them happy. Yeah.
They put the football game on it over there, and I, you know, I'm not a professional football fan, so I go to the kitchen. I do dishes. It's my stall, isn't it? That's where I need to be. But most often, I mean, most often, I think, after a parent or a grandparent passes and they realize that things cannot be the way it was, they're trying to recreate something that perhaps could be something, a new thing for the next few years, while the other, you know, like my father-in-law's the last one, and he's in his late 80s, so maybe we can recreate something for him that is more along the lines of tradition, with the kids playing and cutting up and doing whatever. We'll only have three this year, little ones, so hopefully we'll have something for it, because his great, let's see, how's it go? 1, 2, 3, 4. His great-grandson will be here, and he's only seen him once or twice, even though we live in the same town, you know how that goes. But he will have him here, and we took pictures last year, so now Trent is walking and trying to talk, so this should be fun. Turn him loose, Bravos, Crystal, and just turn him loose. But I think that's what it is, just the joy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, keep the laughter. Don't worry about all the other, the fixings and the trimmings, you know. Interact
Absolutely.
With people.
Yeah,
put away
yeah, really,
the dang phone.
Well, put away the phones. Do something, you know, years ago, families would do stuff together. Like, you know, like I said, people would whip out the guitars
games.
Or harmonicas. They pull out games. They pull out cards. They play charades. Gosh, remember charades. And they did things as a family. They'd go outside and play football together instead of just watching it on TV. So, you know, whatever style of thing is, you know, your family, watching a movie, one of my favorite Thanksgiving movies is John Candy and Planes, Trains, and Automobiles. I mean, that's a really funny movie to watch at the holidays.
Sure.
Steve Martin and John Candy. So find something
Throw
that
Mama
your family
from the train,
will do together.
Something
Throw
silly.
Mama from the Train. Yeah.
Yeah.
Something
that you really don't have to follow a plot to, just silliness. But unfortunately, these people aren't going to be that way. I just know it.
So
I will just hang out in the kitchen for a little while, and then I'll play with the baby, and then I'll go, where's the keys? I'm ready to go now.
part of the other thing that I see an awful lot, and I'm actually talking to somebody in the chat room, and they're kind of doing this, so I'm actually going to call them out a little bit on it, is so anticipating how other people are going to behave. It's almost like you're writing the script in your head for how it's going to go. And you know, sometimes people might surprise you. And to hold out hope and not write that script in your head. And what can you do as a person in that situation to deflect it and make it different and not let it go that way? Even so much as saying, hey, you know what, every year we all get together and this happens, so this year we're going to do something different so it doesn't happen, because I think we all find it unpleasant. And if they don't like it, then they can leave, and then you've still changed something. I have a good friend who she loves her mother dearly, just dearly. However, when this woman takes it in her head that she's going to drink, she does. And when she drinks, after about the third drink, this is very much like my grandmother as well, she gets kind of a little bit too blunt and honest for people. Well, yeah, she just gets a little too blunt and honest for people, and she says things that create arguments and become a problem. Where, you know, to the point where, you know, people won't talk to each other for years after she has opened her mouth, you know?
I understand. But
yeah, and feelings.
I am that way without alcohol, so I'm used to it. I really am. And I understand that people, you know. And I'm looking here at the chat room. I see who you're talking to. But you do have to set boundaries. If you feel like that you're being quote-unquote, bullied only at family mm-hmm. gatherings, you know what, stand your ground. Like, this is not going to happen this year. You've done this to me, blah, blah, blah. You know, or take them off to the side and go, you know, love you dearly, but you're a jerk.
Mm-hmm.
Don't do this to me anymore. Set
mm-hmm.
your
yeah.
boundary and stick to your guns.
Exactly.
And if it doesn't do anything at all, like you said, it does change it. Because next
mm-hmm.
time they may or may not approach you at all.
Mm-hmm.
And that's okay.
Right.
Because
right.
now they know you have had enough.
And you've called them out on
you know?
It. Well, all too often we
yeah.
don't say anything and it enables people to act like that. And we allow it. And so I you know, I suggested to my friend, well, why in heaven's name do you let her drink when she comes to these family things? Tell her going in, don't bring wine, you're not drinking at this
yep.
event. Because every time you
right.
come to a family event and you drink, everybody gets into a fight and I want to have a nice time. And if they don't like it because you're holding up the mirror about their negative behavior and they don't like it, then you're just going to have to sit and don't come. Yeah, well, yeah, either come,
either don't
and,
come
and behave.
Or drink ice
right.
water instead. Or
right.
make
because
some
I'm
tea.
Not going to allow somebody else's behavior in my home that I you know, invite them to ruin everybody else's family time. I've worked so hard on the turkey. I've worked so hard on the food. Everybody is coming. I've worked hard to make this a nice holiday. And I know that if you come and you have more than two glasses of wine, it's going to become an issue. And they're going to have a fight. And everybody's going to leave unhappy. I'm not doing it again. And you have to stand your ground
right.
and say, I want you here. I love you. But if you come, you have to behave in this manner. There is nothing wrong with setting guidelines. And I don't care how narcissistic, I don't care how argumentative and contrarian somebody is. If you call them on their crap and then they start to behave that way anyway, then you can, you're within your rights to go up and say, hey, you're either going to have to stop this conversation or you're going to have to leave because I'm not letting this happen again. We had this conversation. You know,
right.
I don't understand, you know, why we feel it's okay to talk to children
it's a bullying
like that.
Thing.
But yeah.
Right.
Yeah, it's
and
okay
it's,
to tell
and,
your
and
kids.
This is teaching them how to bully.
Yeah.
You
and
know,
it's, and it's okay
family
to tell
gatherings
kids.
Aren't supposed to be that way.
Right,
but
exactly.
We had the same problem years ago, long before I, you know, we're talking like before I was married back in those days. My one uncle loves his beer and normally was perfectly fine. Unfortunately, my grandfather would go and get the bottle that he kept hidden in the house and they would start drinking that. That's when the chaos began. My grandmother, to this day, I will never forget it as long as I live, she stood at the back porch and she says, dinner's ready except for you, you, and you. Your dinner will be brought to you. She excluded the men from the dinner, and they have they never did it again, but she put her foot down after so many years of this bring out the good stuff, you know, and she put her foot down. You three will eat out here on the picnic table. Everyone else is eating in the dining room, and you're not invited. And that's all she had to say. It was very, quote-unquote, PC. No one was pointed out. They all knew they were guilty, and they got caught. She was the matriarch.
Yeah.
That's her dinner. So,
and that's how I feel. I mean,
rate,
if you as the matriarch have gone to all this trouble to make all this wonderful food and invite all these people into your home and care for them on this day and show them how grateful you are for having them in your life, and they come into your home and disrespect all of that and treat you like crap
right.
and treat your other fellow guests like
then
crap.
Then guess
and
what? You won't get invited again.
Yeah, they don't deserve to be there just because they share a last name with you or a bloodline.
Right.
They, you know, that's
right.
not an automatic in. So,
no,
I mean,
it's not.
Yeah. But we have to stand up and say something and not be like, oh, grandma's going to come again and drink and, you know, make everybody miserable. Oh, this is this terrible cross we have to bear at every holiday
here
gathering.
Here we go again.
Yeah.
Here we go again.
Yeah. And I just can't see
it
that.
It does come to a point, I think, that we all have to, and it doesn't have to be something that, quote-unquote, mentally violent, because that's what it is. It's a mind game. I think a lot of it comes from maybe when they were young and that's what they're mimicking. you know, what they saw in their time. But there's always that one, myself, you included. There's a few of us that will go, now I've had enough now, and walk away from it or stand up and say something. You'll say something more than I will. And if it comes out of my mouth, it's probably worse off than what they said.
But you know what?
It stops it.
Yeah, yeah.
You know,
and the thing is that people forget that there's a way that you can talk to people and explain things, you know, going into the holiday. And, yes, they're probably going to get their feelings hurt. But if you call them on their behavior, you know, they will suddenly realize that it's not acceptable behavior. And they'll realize that it bothers you. And if they truly love you and they truly want to come to this family gathering, it'll at least give them food for thought. They might be mad initially, but ultimately they're going to be thinking about it. And they're going to be like, you know, maybe so-and-so has a point. Because they're going to start thinking about all the other places they've probably stopped being invited to because of their behavior. Because guaranteed, they're not just doing this at family events. They're probably doing it when they go to other people's houses, too. So
Right.
I mean, and
so stand your ground and hold your own and just be like a duck and let it roll off your back.
Yeah, exactly.
Do you realize it's almost quarter till? So
yeah,
how about we play some music tonight?
Yep, that sounds like a good idea.
And go get a drink of tea, and I can go in there and giggle. How about Tawatha Day? Because I just saw them 2 weeks ago, and they are the bomb.
Okay.
So I picked The Hum and the Shiver with Danny Mulliken leading.
Okay. That sounds
we'll
dirty
be back in about 5 minutes.
Okay.
Oh, my. He's something else.
Looking in the eyes.
And hello, we're back, and this evening we are talking about how to stay, how to keep your cool over the holidays, and how to not over-anticipate, not project, to just breathe and remember that you're here amongst your family and friends, and this is supposed to be, you know, a good time filled with love. And that you do for these people because you want to, not because they expect it. And if it's not exactly perfect, it's okay. You did your best.
Yes.
And to just be don't be as hard on yourself as you know, some of us often are. So one of the other things, too, that I find over the years that has helped me, again, is take a walk after dinner, you know, or even before.
Oh, my gosh, yes.
Before dinner, depending on, you know, your family and the type. This way you can get outside. Everybody has a break. They're out of that room. Especially after dinner, people tend to fall asleep after they eat turkey and they've overeaten and maybe had a couple glasses of wine. I think it's always a sad ending to the holiday with all these people with their top button of their pants unbuttoned asleep watching TV.
It is. It's pitiful. That's when you want to take the pictures.
Exactly. The blackmail pictures. So
yep.
So maybe it's a good idea to, hey, you know, there's this really great park near here. How about we all go for a short stroll? You don't even have to say a walk because people get this whole vision of, you know, people power walking.
Or hiking. Yeah.
Yeah. Let's just take a walk and look at the trees or whatever. Walk by the river.
Like the people behind my father-in-law years ago were building a two-story log house,
mm-hmm.
and the weather was really nice, and someone made a comment, "Let's go look at the house." Well, mm-hmm. we all knew who the guy was, and he didn't care, and we did. We walked over, and it was after dinner, but before dessert.
Mm-hmm.
It helped her. The mother-in-law and whoever was doing the main cooking to kind of blow off their anxiety,
mm-hmm.
and get out of the house. You know, the kids were willing to, oh, we'll stay here and play croquet. Okay, get after it. You know, we're just going to walk down this lane. And it does help because it also realigns your chakras. It, you know, puts everything back in perspective. It puts you right back on the really track that you want to be on. I'm almost done. I'm halfway through. I can do this. I've done it so far. We'll be fine.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people don't take that break, and I'm guilty of it. You saw me a few weeks ago. I didn't take that
mm-hmm.
break, and I was ready to fall
mm-hmm.
on my face. And I
yeah.
think a lot of that is because you want everything perfect,
mm-hmm.
you know. It was perfect. It was pretty good, darn good soup, and friends were
mm-hmm.
here.
Mm-hmm.
And but I really felt it for like 2 days later. I really did.
Sure.
And
yeah.
I think it was the anticipation of all the things. Because we had that class, and we had strangers that weren't normally here.
Mm-hmm.
You got...
I don't know what that noise is. That's horrible. I don't know why it's doing that. I'm sorry if you guys are hearing this too. Hopefully it'll stop shortly. Niv?
Hello? Did I lose
Hi.
You? That was
no,
a
I'm
creepy
still here.
Noise.
Yeah, I don't know why it's doing that. That's the second time that happened. The other time was when we were at music and you and I heard it.
Yeah.
I'm hoping that doesn't
Maybe
happen again.
Maybe someone's listening in. Maybe someone's
yeah.
calling. No, they're not calling. I have no
yeah.
messages. But
yeah.
at any rate, you know, like I said, holidays are just something that you do.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to do it with family. You can do it with friends. You can have have your dinner with a chosen friend, chosen family, just as well as you can a blood family.
Oh, absolutely. We used to do Misfits Thanksgiving.
So stressful. Mm-hmm. Well, like when we used to do them over alleys.
At the mountain.
We would go over and have the early Thanksgiving, so to speak. It would be maybe a couple of weeks ahead of time. That way our chosen family could go, oh, okay, we stuffed and we did stupid stuff and we're all and we all laughed about it. And then we would go home and go, okay, I can do this. It was like a boost. So I'm prepared, as much as I whine about it, I'll get through it, you know? And I could almost say that these are chosen families because I chose my husband. Every family has quirks, no matter how you look at it. Every single one of them do. So just, you know, be the duck and let the water run off your back. It's no big deal.
Yeah.
And if you don't want to go, don't go.
Yeah, and accept your family for who they are, and know that someday, you know, as obnoxious as they may be, someday they may not be around, and so then, that'll change your perspective. So, all right, so we're about 7 minutes from the top of the hour. Why don't we give the information on how to get in touch with the radio station? I know if you want to get in touch with myself or Terry, for any reason, you can certainly reach us at Little Stone Bridge Pathworking's Facebook page or littlestonebridge@gmail.com email address. We both look at that Facebook page and that email address. If you want to reach just me, you can reach me at Physical Wellness you can reach me at Spiritual Wellness Physical Health Facebook page or on my personal page at Robin A. McKean. You can also reach Terry at Rev Terry Power HP, and you can reach the radio station at cern.org@gmail.com.
There you go. You got it.
Yeah.
You got it.
Yeah, I know.
And you can find old Crazy Nivasi on Facebook as well. Just type in Nivasi. It'll pop up. N-I-V-A-S-I. It comes up with my legal name, so not a problem. I just want everyone to know that holidays are always difficult, and we'll get over it. It's just one day. If you can deal with it, fine. If you don't want to, fine too. Make yourself happy.
Yeah.
Just do that. If it takes every bit of you not to go, then go outside for a walk. Go build a snowman. Go tie-dye something. Do whatever you want to do, but make sure that you remember the good in every person.
Absolutely.
You have to remember that because, you know, like I said, every family member, every family has their quirks. So if you've got the quote-unquote jackass in the family, so what? Everyone knows it's the jackass.
Right.
So I just want everyone to have a good holiday. If it gets too stressful, go for a walk. Beat on a tree. Don't let them get underneath your skin.
Yeah, no hiding in the kitchen crying because that's just counterproductive. I know.
Yeah.
I've known people who've done that, so just don't do that. You just have to have some modicum of, you know, this is acceptable behavior and this is not, and this is the way it's going to be done. You can overcome just about anything, including telling teenage friends, no, you can't bring, teenage kids, no, you can't bring your friends. It's no place for your friends. This is a family gathering. And no, there cannot be any cell phones
at the
problem. Table.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
No,
that's
there cannot
a, that's
be any cell phones.
There.
Yep. No cell phones at
no
the
iPads,
table.
No none of that.
No tablets.
At the table.
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly. Yeah.
You just have to just go on about it. You know, it's just bite the bullet. Just do it. Be done with it.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
If it comes down to that, and it becomes that stressful for you, then don't do it. You know, but make sure you're okay with what you're doing, and don't do something because you're expected to. You know, be yourself.
I just feel badly because I know that the years that I didn't see my family, how much I miss them. And I mean, I can understand if people don't want to go because it's just so emotionally draining and unpleasant. I can certainly understand that. But I just think that you're robbing yourself of time with your family, good, bad, or indifferent. They are your family, and you need to sort of figure that out. So
find the balance.
Yep, try and make it work, but, you know, sometimes it is too stressful, so it's better to probably just walk away from it and let them be their crazy selves.
Run.
And go somewhere
run.
Else.
Run.
Yeah.
Run
yeah.
and burn off the steam, and don't carry it with you when you walk away.
Exactly.
That makes you the bigger person.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
well, my
it
dear,
also...
it is 3 minutes to, and I think we're just going to close tonight since you and I could carry a conversation for hours.
But this is true.
I know I have grandchildren coming. I have great grandchildren mm-hmm. coming.
Oh yeah,
and I'm down to one vehicle, so it's going
mm-hmm.
to be battleship time. I can't remember what car I'm going where.
Mm-hmm. I get
I'm gonna
it.
Have to borrow one just to get children. So,
all right, so I'm gonna say good night, and as always, spread the love. We'll see you Thursday. Well, we won't see you Thursday night this week because it's probably going to be a repeat, but we will see you next week. Spread the love. Have a nice night. Have a nice week, and enjoy your holiday the best you can. Blessed be.
Be the doc.
Thanks for listening to the Spiritual Unity Radio Network. Join us 7 nights a week for exciting programming covering a variety of expressions of faith. And remember, all manifestations of the divine are equally valid.